Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? It's a little slow today, Sherry. Here we go. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
That was a little delay. Good morning. This is Lisa from San Luis Obispo.
Good morning, Lisa. What are you seeing?
I spent yesterday's homework assignment just sitting in a lot of, I learned that I don't have to do a specific thing to celebrate. I can just sit in gratitude and joy with, you know, being in center. And I just got to spend the whole day in that space. And it was wonderful. I also wanted to mention how much I enjoyed the Sunday retreat. That just, I think mind-blowing is a perfect description of those. That hour and a half, it was wonderful, and I got the recording of it and re-listened to it. It was just really great.
Well, Lisa, you do know how to party, don't you?
I do. I've learned from you, Sherry and Sangha, so thank you for that. You know, I was thinking last night, I was kind of excited laying in bed, and I was listening to some old open airs, and I was thinking about someone gave me this book called There's Nothing Wrong With You, probably about 12 years ago, and I fiddled around the edges for several years, and then about 5 years ago, I decided that, you know, whoever that was, decided that ending suffering maybe would be a really good thing to work on every day, and I was reflecting on all those years that I listened to people call into the open air and not knowing at the time that conditioning was eating away my interpretation of what they were saying. Mm-hmm. And it would say, these people are kind of weird, and oh my goodness, they're so full of them. And it had all these little stories. And a couple weeks ago, that came up again, and I started having big opinions about things. And it took me a little time to settle down and realize that ego's kind of on the run, and it's just any little time it can find a wedge to take me away from center and from practice, it's going to do it. And
that's exactly right. And the thing that's wonderful about it is that you so clearly know the difference. So the other day when we were talking about there are two places we can be, here or ego.
Yeah.
That's what you're describing.
Yeah.
And you're really clear at this point about what here feels like.
Mostly.
What it looks like. What's going on right in here. And you're clear about what ego looks and feels like. What the projections are. Projection, yeah. Such a wonderful practice because, as you've noticed, when you hear the voices in your head projecting onto, say, other people in practice or you or whatever, and there's all this negativity, I mean, it's just like sending up a giant flare. Oh,
yes.
Ego.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to redirect the attention.
It's funny because I've noticed, particularly since we've all been working at home, and boy, my practice has just intensified so much. So I kind of feel bad saying, oh, I'm so grateful for a horrible pandemic. But being at home has been really great for my practice. And I find that I actually get more done. I'm really looking forward. I was very excited to read The Focus today for the new mm-hmm. session. Because I found that the more I stay in center, the more I magically get done. So it will be a really fun thing to look at with new eyes. You know, it's just a big thank
you. You're excited.
I'm excited.
You're
and
excited.
I was one of those
Isn't
people.
Isn't that a great way to live?
And one of those people that for years would listen to excited people and go, these people are so weird. And for anybody that kind of new on the path, you don't need me to tell you because there's plenty of people that have more experience than I do, but that gift from the universe of just the ability to keep showing up and yes. being confused and not understanding and showing up anyway and listening and just doing the best you can with whatever exercises in front of you, just the deepest gratitude for you and Shwini and everybody there for all that you do. And,
everything that, Lisa, that we do in this practice and everything that everybody is doing around the world to,
absolutely.
To come back to conscious, compassionate awareness and just live the kindest, most compassionate, present life we can. All right. Yes. Well, you keep having fun, okay?
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Right.
We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Lisa. Oh, gosh, Sherry. I don't know where to begin to reflect that conversation.
Well, it's just so clear that mm-hmm. practice is joyful. You know, we mm-hmm. say that all the time, and then you hear Lisa talk and go, yeah, it really is. Yeah, well, it really does take us from suffering to joy.
Well, the thing that I so appreciated is the reminder that awakening isn't a moment, you know, it doesn't happen in the sense that there's a journey here and a journey to that clarity, to being able to celebrate by simply sitting in gratitude takes a lot of letting go. And I think it's so material to the assignment yesterday about appreciating the practitioner, that gift that mm-hmm. Lisa was talking about, that we show up and keep showing up, letting the ego be whittled away, and to arrive mm-hmm. at that clarity and to have that appreciation for whatever keeps showing up is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's critical. And the other thing is, as we are looking at it, the process of appreciation is training us to look from life's perspective rather than the negative perspective of ego. So any chance we get to practice appreciation, we want to, because it's a redefining of the negative orientation of self-hate.
Yes. Yeah, and Lisa was really gave some good specific examples. So I'm listening to an open air, and I hear a voice in my head, those people are so phony, or they're so weird, or they're so whatever they are. And what arises in me is, and they're showing up. Mm-hmm. That's what we do in all of our weirdness. We show up and we practice. And then, you know, with that kind of response, with that appreciation for everything we're doing, there's really nowhere for you to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I project what's also being registered as ego talks is these people are happy.
Yeah.
You know, I want that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is June.
Well, hello, June. What are you seeing?
Getting unmuted is always a shock, and anything I'm seeing usually just goes right out of my consciousness. So,
which is good, right? Because it just leaves us where we are, which is here. Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just really appreciated what was being said about showing up. Just show up. I don't know.
May I say something? Oh, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead. Well, while you were looking at that next piece, I just wanted to comment on that. The importance of showing up as we are. Because what we're learning in practice is to accept ourselves as we are, to accept everything as it is, right? So the showing up is really the essential piece, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and what I'm saying just right now is showing up as we are right now.
Right now.
When you just said that about showing up as you are, I watched attention go to paint a picture of how I am. What do I say that reflects how I am? Well,
yeah. Not a requirement.
And, you know, yes, some of these workshops, a lot of people said, I think, if I'm remembering this correctly, I don't really know if I can put this into words, because the workshop was about, I didn't know how to put into words what the workshop was about.
Well, you know, June, I would be challenged to do that, so I wouldn't feel too bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, what you're pointing at is the what we want to be noticing. So here you are. Now, without any ego conversation, you're fine, right? You are exactly what, if we can use this language, what life has expressed or manifested in this moment. Without an ego conversation, there's nothing wrong. Okay? Without an ego conversation, we have acceptance. The synonym for acceptance is happiness. Then what you watched was how attention is trained to go to conditioned mind. And it ostensibly, that is so that you can, and then fill in the blank, come up with the clarity about what you're seeing, figure out what the right way to be is, add the next piece to that, whatever it is. But the point is, it takes us away from here. And so whatever we got, once we got to conditioned mind, is going to be not where we want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so simple, and ego wants to make it so complex.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the first things that when people start practice that they will say, it can't be this simple.
And I always say, well, actually, it can, and it is. It is exactly this simple. Yeah. And the only thing that is difficult ever, of course, almost the entire world believes that something like awareness practice is hard. But the only thing hard in awareness practice is ego. So whether you're living a life of devoted to unconsciousness, or you're attempting to wake up and in suffering, the only thing in your life that is hard is ego. I always thought it was behooved us then to choose the one that has a chance of ending the suffering rather than the one that is guaranteed to perpetuate and very likely increase the suffering. All right. Thank you very much. All right. You take care.
Thanks, June. This is a very difficult radio show for the host, Sherry, because we could have a conversation for the rest of the show on just what you and June talked about. The thing that I so appreciated about that was a particular teaching that drifted up, and I think this is from one of the Hindu teachings, where they're describing the self-realized individual, And one of the qualities is how contented they are with themselves. And it so points to that it's actually a quality of someone who's within quotes awakened or enlightened. Because if you are happy with how you are, then you must be aware that what is you is that which animates all.
That's right.
And so
it has to be coming from center. Right?
That's
because
right.
The ego is judgmental and critical. It is dualistic, so it's always comparing.
And
right?
self-hating.
So in order to be So to be content with yourself is the same as saying you're content with life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so therefore that injunction that I just heard you give, which is to show up as you are in the moment, is really the totality of what we're practicing.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I think people who have a Christian orientation will recognize that in what Jesus taught. Mm. That was a big part of it. Not a after yourself improvement program, but exactly as you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. This is Sharon in Barbados.
Hello, Sharon.
Oh, you can hear
what
me.
What are you seeing?
Well, I probably should celebrate. Well, I really liked Shwini's take on celebration and the importance of it. And so I will I'll certainly carry that forward. I want to talk or share a little bit about what I got from. I got so much from this last focus of giving. And one of the things that really stood out for me was that I became aware that I believed, or ego believed, that other people, whenever I gave anything, thought I had an ulterior motive. I mean, that was kind of unconscious. It was below the surface. But I think that because of that, it made me so much more vulnerable to ego. Because and I, just as you were talking about that, I realized that that would make me so much more vulnerable to self-hate. You know, I must think that everybody has an ulterior motive when they give, or at least ego must think that. And I adopted that view.
Well, yeah, and Sharon, again, ego doesn't think anything, okay? It simply uses whatever will cause suffering. So, you know, we don't know where, somewhere, that notion got planted, right? If we talk about karma or conditioning or whatever it is, that notion got planted. And so ego can use that to torture you. And so it will. And what you're, the fact that you're bringing this up, the significance of that for all of us is that's what awareness practice is. That's what we're doing in awareness practice. So you're going along and you're paying attention and you see that. You see it. And you stop and go, what? Wait a minute. What is, and you begin to watch for it. You begin to see how when you give, that's there. You begin to realize that when other people give something to you, there's this little niggle of, well, what do they actually want? Right? Now you're bringing that into conscious awareness, and ego can no longer use it to cause you to suffer because you no longer believe it, because you've examined it and you realize, well, there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of that anywhere.
Yeah, it's true, because lots of things will just, through this process and through being part of this practice, so many things have come into my awareness that were not there before. Just like this.
That's right.
Running,
that's
right. there'll be like a running tape loop of not fast enough, not good enough, you know what I'm saying, or not efficient enough. And, you know, and I can see that now, and it's, I hope I keep seeing it.
Well, you see it, and the important thing is you don't believe it. Right?
Yeah.
It's not under the surface controlling your experience of life and causing you to suffer. So now, I don't know why you haven't celebrated, but I'm going to encourage you to put that at the top of your list of things to focus on today, because it's really, really, really important. Otherwise, what doesn't happen is an acknowledgement of the transformation that we were just talking about. Ego can pretend like none of that is happening. But if you stop and celebrate, you also increase for yourself the incentive to keep doing the work that puts you in a place of happiness and celebration.
Ah, yes, that sounds wonderful. Okay, I will definitely. It's on the top. All right, thanks so
much.
Very
good, very good.
All right.
Thank you, Sharon.
All the best to both
of
you.
All
right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Sharon. Sherry, I really appreciated that nuance of the distinction between the orientation and the use of the orientation to cause suffering, right? The orientation of separation that got, that took a hold, and then how that is used to torture. Because an ulterior motive around giving, if it's examined as purely information, there's really nothing wrong with it, other than if I feel bad that that's the reason I'm giving and that's something wrong with me and I'm suspicious of everyone else because that's why they're giving and there's something wrong with that. That's just a nuance that is so interesting to look at.
Right, right, as all nuances are. Yeah, and you know, Ashwini, just when you said that, I thought, well, I bet most people have an ulterior motive when they give. And I bet it's something along the lines of, I want you to approve of me. I want you to like me. I want you to love me. I want you to be happy so you'll be happy with me. Mm-hmm. I would bet there's a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. It's not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not ulterior in the least.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna from Home First in England.
Well, hello there.
Hello, hi. Hello. Well, I celebrated by, I did a love letter of appreciation. And
good for you.
It was amazing. So when I started it, compared to when I finished it, what I thought it was going to be, and then what I got in the end was like two different worlds, and it was just absolutely wonderful. It was so heart-opening, and I just was taken to, it's like the same feeling when I listen to a gorgeous piece of music or I look at a beautiful piece of artwork or beautiful poem, you know, there kind of isn't really any words, mm-hmm. but it was just very, very, very beautiful. And it was very heart opening, and it really helped me, my understanding of compassion even more. And I would never have thought I would have got that from writing a love letter of appreciation. But it just helped me understand sort of compassion for myself and compassion for all. And it was very unifying and it was just a, you know, it just sort of started off as a, I appreciate, you know, that you show up every day, and it got more and more. So it was lovely.
Well, that is wonderful, and I'm gonna project all over it. Okay, I project that what it did for you is to take you. First of all, it moved you from ego to here, and you didn't think you were in ego when you started, right? Because that's not a total identification with ego when somebody sits down to write a love letter to themselves, right? So we can get fooled into thinking, oh well, I'm centered, right? Okay, well, I might be close to center, but by the time you get finished with that experience, you realize, yeah, but I wasn't really at center, right? I wasn't really in center. And the second projection is that what you did in that movement was stop taking you personally. That movement into that compassion was a compassion for everybody because, in quotes, she was no more personal to you in the sense that you own her, you have to improve her, you have to have opinions about her, you have to judge her. And right from that place of compassion, there is just feeling about her the way you feel about everyone and everything in that compassion.
Yes, that's it exactly.
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It really is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's everything that you say. It's like a melting into.
Yes.
All of it. I can't. It's very difficult to.
Yeah, it is. We can't do it. But you also did it when you said it's like looking at a beautiful piece of art or reading a poem or right. It's the same thing. The individual self disappears if only for a split second and have an experience of non-separation. There is
right.
only, and then pick a word, you know, pick a word. It's love, it's compassion, it's kindness, it's appreciation, generosity, giving, receiving, goodness, right? Just for a second, there's no me, there's just that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, I'm really pleased I did.
you make a good argument for a love letter,
I do it. Everybody
okay.
do it.
Everybody
thank
does.
You.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you.
Bye bye. Bye bye, Gasho. Bye
bye. Gasho.
Thanks, Anna. Share two things about that. One is and this is a little prelude to our new recording and listening class that's coming out.
Oh, I've thought
September.
About that myself, Ashwini. Go ahead.
Well, the encouragement to have the experience of doing something like writing the love letter is mm-hmm. just extraordinary. Because there is a way in which we're conditioned to think about something. I think somebody mentioned it. You know, you could think appreciatively about the tree, but writing a love letter to the tree is an experience of appreciation that's very, very different. And to explore the magic of a direct experience of something versus a thought about it requires a doing.
Yes.
Right, writing the love
letter. That's right. And it's a doing that is getting ego out of the way for a being.
That's exactly right.
And so that there's a doing that is a being. Uh-huh.
A doing that is a being. Because it's the second point is literally the experience that you and Anna were talking about, which is the dissolving of the self as a way to have that experience of all that is, right? And we have to put ourselves into that process for that to happen. And touching on something else that is starting to come up for folks around the workshop on Sunday, right? I think you mentioned it on the call, that what ego starts to get afraid of is the obliteration of whoever I am, of Ashwini, or whatever it is, right? The identity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only in the dissolving of the self do we experience ourselves as what we truly are. There is actually no loss in that process. It's actually an inclusion of everything rather than experiencing ourselves as a limitation of something.
Yes. The only thing we lose truly is suffering.
Precisely. The only thing we lose is suffering.
It's what
we want. It's why we're doing this.
That's right. It's what we're going for. And so with what you were describing, with the love letter, and this is what people are experiencing all the time in practice, right? So when we're here, so I decide that I'm going to write that love letter, and I think pen and paper is always the way to do it rather than the computer. That could just be me. So you start writing that love letter, and what happens in the process is that increasingly the intelligence, wisdom, love, and compassion is writing the letter. Mm-hmm. Ego just is no longer a part of that process. Mm-hmm. And that's when we get into that disappearance of the illusion of a separate self that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Either the moment writes or the mind writes, and we have to make that movement.
Oh, that is very good. Either the moment is writing it or the mind is writing it. Yes, Lisa started us off with what it's like when the mind is doing it, right?
Well,
but
yes.
When the moment is, yeah.
Yeah, well, and you never know what the letter is going to be because if you were writing from the mind, you know what a love letter is like. But if the moment is writing, you never know, which is what you experience after writing it. It's like, oh, my God, this is not the letter I would have ever written precisely.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. I would never have written that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And that brings us to the end of the show. Sherry, here's our assignment. We started a new focus today on doing. So read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see how you would like to work with the process focus for the month. Jot that down. Example, I am a doing machine. When there's a lot to do, I'm razor focused on getting it done and forget all about enjoying any of it. Moreover, I tend to forget all the niceties of relating to people when I'm so focused and respond with impatience to both people and interruptions.
All right.
We'll hear from everyone.
Exciting. Exciting month.
Exactly. All right.
All right. Thanks, Ishwini. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.